And they marveled and said, how is it that such power is given unto men? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. We are blessed today to hear again the recounting of the miracle of the healing of the paralytic. And here is a man that in another gospel lesson we find is brought to Jesus by his friends, who when they see the press of the crowd outside the house, go up on the roof, remove the tiles of the roof, and lower the man down in front of Jesus. And Jesus startles everybody when he says to the man, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Not what they were expecting. And there are some in the assembly that think in their hearts, who but God can forgive sins? This man's a blasphemer. But Jesus knew their thoughts, and it shows us again of the power of Christ, of his divine nature, that he knows their thoughts. I mean, who but God alone can read the heart? Now, maybe you think again, if you're a good poker player, and you can see on the person's face opposite, you know, what you think they have in their hand. But he's not reading their faces, he's reading their hearts. He knows what they're thinking. And he says, so that you will know the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. And then he says to the paralyzed man, stand up, take up thy bed and walk. And the man picks up his bed and walks. And so here he gives a demonstration of his power through the power of healing, a demonstration of the veracity of his claim that he can forgive sins because the man is healed. So in a way, what we're seeing here is an outward and a visible sign of the inward and the spiritual grace of the forgiveness of sins. We can't see sins being forgiven, but they can see the man being healed. And here is the miracle that goes out, that people begin to proclaim him and are astounded at his power, that he does have these abilities, so that his proclamation is true. Now, this is a very instructive piece for us because it shows, again, the power of Christ to forgive sins. And we believe in the forgiveness of sins. And so we have come ourselves as repentant people, as penitential Christians, to bend the knee to Christ, to make our confession to him, to receive absolution. And we are now washed, and there's a great gift given there. We see in the paralytic another symbol of the soul. We can't see the soul, but we see the nature of the soul in the paralyzed man. Because someone who is unrepentant, someone who has not confessed their sins to God, and who is plagued by the Holy Spirit who bites the conscience of the one who is in sin and by their own conscience are accused, they're crippled. Their soul is not able to function as it should. Just like pain is to the body, guilt is to the soul. So if I'm in pain in my body, it's good for me to know that so I can seek remedy and treatment and get cured. But I don't want to live with pain. It's hard for me to be physically free if I'm in pain. Same thing with the soul. If it is unrepentant and has the weight of guilt, it is not liberated to function as it should. So the gift that is given, when Christ brings the forgiveness of God to the person, which he has brought through his mighty salvific work and by the blood he shed on the cross, when they are reconciled with God again, their soul is liberated to love again, and they are set free. So this is a gift given to us that we are all enjoying as repentant Christians. Again, we always, you know, come to Christ anew. Every day brings new sins to be repented of. And so each Sunday is another repetition of our penitential way of life. We come to God to be delivered of sin, to be restored, refreshed, renewed, and set free in our life of loving God and loving others. We also see here the dynamic that St. Paul is addressing in the epistle when he is speaking about the reality of those who have come to know Christ. And now that they know Christ, they are to have a different way of walking, a different way of being and living. And it includes the exhortation at the very end that they should be tender-hearted and that they should be forgiving of others of their sins. We see the Christ-like way of Christians in the exhortation of St. Paul. So just as Jesus was very tender-hearted toward the man that was bound up in his sins and in his body and set him free, in the same way, we are to be tender-hearted toward each other. We are not to bear each other any malice. We're not to have clamor or evil speaking toward each other or about each other. We are to be liberated from those things and walk in a different way, pursuing the unity of love in the body of Christ and experiencing that in our own families and our own parish families. And we are to forgive others their sins. Love is not one that catalogs the wrongs and keeps a record of wrongs and builds a case against the other for hatred in the heart. No, we are brought into new life in Christ where we set the other person free, really set ourselves free, but set the other person, give them to God that he may be their judge. And in that way, forgive them their offenses, hand them over to God that he will be their judge. And we express that free forgivingness of those who have sinned against us, just as Christ forgave us, so we are to forgive others. And in so doing, we experience the great liberty that is ours as children of the Heavenly Father. And so we see that great connection between the Gospel and the Epistle, how the Epistle is referenced then by the Gospel account. And we also see the power that is given through the prayers that we pray in the college. O God, for as much as without thee, we are not able to please thee. We don't think that we can forgive others their offenses by our own power, because it's not on the human level. We have to be energized by love himself to be able to set others free, in a free and freely forgive them, and not harbor anger, hatred, malice, or unforgiveness in our hearts. And so where does that come from? It comes from the source, the ultimate reality, who is God, God who is love. He is the one that will give us what we need to obey the divine command to forgive others. God gives what he commands, is one of the maxims of St. Augustine. God will give what he commands. And so we make our humble petition in the context of today's Eucharist. O God, for as much as without thee, we are not able to please thee. Mercifully grant that thy Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. And may he direct and rule our hearts in all the ways of love, that we may experience the joy that is given to those who are followers of Christ, to those who submit to his divine rule, to those who are the children of the Most High. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.